But just to say what we were looking at last week, 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ be reconciled to God. God desires a relationship with every single person. He desires to bless every single person. He's got a destiny and a future for every single person. But people are separated from that destiny if they don't know God personally. So God has sent Jesus into the world and he sent us to be ambassadors to share that good news so that people can be reconciled and have a relationship with God. And Ephesians 6:20 says, I am, this is Paul talking, an ambassador in chains that in proclaiming the kingdom I may speak boldly. And we are ambassadors of a different kingdom on earth. Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. So we are here to represent heaven on earth. Colossians 1:13, he has rescued us from the domain of darkness. That's what happens when we surrender our lives to God. He rescues us from that train wreck and that crash that's ahead and transfers us to the kingdom of his beloved son, to a place where God's laws and God's principles are outworked. So we're citizens of a heavenly supernatural kingdom. That means that we're those ambassadors in our home, workplace, marketplace, neighborhood, school, college, day center, therapy community, retirement. Doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing, you are a representative of God's kingdom and an ambassador. So everywhere we're to be an influence and to make a difference in every arena of life. Family, marriage, politics, education, finance, health, media, sport, recreation, entertainment. Doesn't matter what areas of life there are, we're there to be a positive influence for good. What are the characteristics of the kingdom? What is it that makes us distinctive? Do people notice that we have different supernatural abilities, a different outlook on life, a different attitude, a different approach to life? If they don't, then we're not being a good ambassador, because people should see our lives and see something different. When difficult things happen to us, is it a crisis or is it an opportunity? Mike Bryan's favorite little thing, and the reality is, it's true. Are we going to act any differently to anyone else when we come into face difficulties and difficult circumstances? Because that's the test, where we put our trust in God and allow God to work through us in that and act and think and behave differently to what would be normally expected. Do we do what Jesus would do? Because that is what an ambassador really is, someone who represents Jesus here on earth and does the things that he did. So look at his life and see what he did. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. He blessed people. And he produced life, abundant life for people. That's what God's calling us to do. We are under a new kingdom authority because an ambassador represents a different kingdom. The American ambassador in the UK lives on American soil in the American embassy and represents and is under the laws of America, not Britain. He has diplomatic immunity. In this world, we have diplomatic immunity because we're citizens of heaven. So we don't have to abide by the laws of this world. Now, I'm not talking about the laws as in stealing and all that sort of stuff, because the Word of God clearly says we need to honor those who are in authority over us. But I'm talking about the things that, like sickness, and finances and things like that, we come from a different realm. So we have a new health service. Our health service is not dependent just on the medical situation. Actually, we have a healer who is God, who can bring health to us. We can have a new financial economy and new financial services because we put our trust in God. We honor him with our finances and we look to him to bless us. A whole new society, paradise restored. Going back to what Adam had in the garden. Now that includes a new way of speaking, new attitudes, and a new lifestyle. The standards of heaven are higher than the standards of earth because they're based in love. And love is about giving and not receiving. Representing heaven's superior authority, values, ideals, principles, power, and wisdom. They're all higher. Now, there are things that Jesus talked about which express this, and I'm going to probably share these next week, but things like the golden rule, releasing forgiveness, not judging people's motives, going the extra mile, were things which marked out Christians. the attitudes of the kingdom. And this is really what I want to talk about today, the different attitudes. Attitude, in aviation terms, determines altitude. In other words, the angle of the things on the back of the wings, which I think they're called aerons or something, actually determines how high the plane goes. And the attitudes that we have in our heart and in our thinking will determine our life and how high it goes with God. You know, an attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling, typically reflected in a person's behavior. How we think, our mindset, our viewpoint, how we act and react comes out of our attitude. Do we have a positive or negative attitude to life? Is the cup half full or half empty? Because the way you look at it will determine what you get out of it. And if you go around thinking everything is half full, then, you know, it's going to actually get fuller. Because that's what you're focusing on, it being full. If you think everything's half empty, you think it's going to be even more empty because it's going away. How we look at things will determine how we react to them. And God wants us to have a positive attitude dependent on His word and what He says, not dependent on the situations and circumstances around us, because that will impact how we behave. Matthew 5, 1 to 12 talks about beautiful attitudes. They're the kingdom attitudes that God wants us to have. Now, the results of those kingdom attitudes come from the word blessed. The word blessed starts every one of those beatitudes. Blessed are. Blessed are. Now, what does blessed mean? Well, in real terms, it means to be empowered to prosper and to succeed at the highest level of everything, at the highest level. So those attitudes will take us to the highest level of blessing. Now, in the Amplified Version, this is what it says at the beginning of each of these verses I'm going to read in a minute from Matthew 5. Blessed. Be happy, to be envied, spiritually prosperous with a life, joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions. That's what blessed means. It also says, blessed with a happiness produced by the experience of God's favor, and especially conditioned by the revelation of His matchless grace. So the more we know God, the easier it is to live in God's favor for our lives, because we know He just desires to bless us. Another thing says happy and joyous, spiritually prosperous. It's like with life, joy and satisfaction. It's like having a relationship with God should bring real satisfaction and real life, an abundant life to us, regardless of outward conditions. Blessed, fortunate, happy, spiritually prosperous, in that state in which the born-again child of God enjoys His favor and salvation. Alice brought that word this morning about enjoying our relationship with God, having fun. Not being heavy and miserable and feeling condemned and guilty all the time. Because having the attitude that God loves me, He's forgiven me, He's got the best for me. He's not there to punish me and take things away from me. He's there to bless me and give me all things. Bring me into abundant life will enable us to live in that favor of God. So we expect good things to happen. We expect God's blessing wherever we are. We expect when we walk into a room that we bring the power and the life and the light of God to change it. That we don't have to come under the circumstances and situations of the world, because we have a higher kingdom that we are ambassadors of. Therefore, we need to apply those things. The manifesto of God's kingdom is presented in Matthew 5 to 7, and this is really what I want to share over the next couple of weeks. Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, that doesn't sound too good, does it? Well, blessed are the poor? I don't want to be poor. What it's talking about is those who are poor in spirit, those who know their limitations, those who know that they can do nothing profitable in their own flesh, in their own strength. Because those people, God gives the kingdom resources to. If we think we can do it in our own strength, in our own way, well, then we don't need anything from God. The reality is we need everything from Him. Matthew 5:3, blessed when you're at the end of your rope. This is what the Message version says of the same verse. With less of you, there's more of God in His rule. See, the less of us there is in the way, and more of God can be demonstrated through our lives. That's God's desire. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Again, do we really want to mourn? Well, you can interpret this as feeling the heart of God and having compassion for things, but really what it's meaning is losing the most important thing in your life, which is you. Me, myself, and I have got to die, because that is what mourning's about. I give up my life to gain his life. Whoever loses his life for me, Jesus said, will gain my life. So we have to be willing to be those who give up our life, literally mourn, because then we will be comforted with everything of his life, where he blesses us. You're blessed when you feel you've lost the most dear to you, what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. So when we surrender our life, we get everything from God for his life in us. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Gentleness does not mean meekness, doormat-ish. Gentleness actually means strong, but surrendered. And the Greek illustration of the word gentle was for a wild stallion that has a bit in its mouth and is directed by the rider. And God wants us to be directed by him. And if we're gentle, we know who we are, but we surrender that for the purposes of God. They shall inherit the earth, so there shall come into all the blessing that God wants here on earth. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, your identity in God. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourself proud owners of everything that cannot be bought. We get everything which we cannot buy with money when we surrender ourselves to God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. If we're looking for satisfaction in life, where are we trying to find it? Because there's all sorts of things that the world will offer us to try and satisfy us, but none of them will lead to abundant life. They will never be able to satisfy us. That's why we're still hungry and people are still looking for things to satisfy them in the world. When we seek first God and look for him, then he will satisfy us. You're blessed when you work up a good appetite for God. His food and drink is the best meal you'll ever eat. God can give us more than the world can ever offer us, but we have to seek him. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Literally, this is talking about what we've received from God, mercy, which means we've not received the what we should have deserved for what our life has been led. Then we give that mercy to others. We have to treat people the same way God has treated us. That means we can't seek revenge or retaliation or other things. We have to give mercy. What you've received, freely give. And we've received mercy, therefore we have to give mercy and live our lives in that way. It says, you're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourself cared for. So when we're giving and thinking about other people before ourselves, then God looks after us. That's his desire. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart means no mixture. Jesus talked about the heart and the soil of the heart having hard areas, stony areas, thorny, weedy areas, and areas which are ready to produce good fruit. So we have to be willing to allow God to deal with our hearts and get rid of all the rubbish so that we can see God. Because Jesus said, I only do the things I see the Father doing. So if we want to be good ambassadors, we have to be able to see God. And that comes from being pure in heart. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right, then you can see God in the outside world. So God wants everything to flow from the inside out. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Again, it's our desire and God's thing to bring peace. Now, peace really means wholeness. The word shalom meant wholeness and completeness and fullness. So God wants us to bring wholeness and to restore the world back to its original condition. It doesn't mean that we just never argue with anybody. It means that we bring the truth. And the truth will set people free. And we can be called sons of God. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. And the last one, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is a really difficult one because no one likes to be persecuted. And no one likes to be persecuted for doing good things. I think, well, actually, if I've done bad things, maybe that's sort of what I get in my own deserts. But actually, when I do good things, I'm going to get persecuted. This is a test of our attitudes. What are we like when things go wrong, when we started to do things good? Because there's a test that comes with that. And if our attitude is not one of retaliation or wanting to get our own back or any of those things, revenge, but is we can bless our enemies and love them, because that's what Jesus said, we have to love our enemies. We can't treat them the way they've treated us. They may have treated us badly, but we've got to treat them well. Really hard thing to do in your own strength. In fact, impossible to do in your own strength. Because the flesh will always try and get revenge. Whereas the spirit will always try and sow blessing and peace. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you into even deeper into God's kingdom. Because that is when we really need God to come through us. You know, when everything's going well, then we can be a nice smiley person and everything's great. When things aren't going well, what are we like then? Are we a grump and miserable and we display that? Or actually are we going to come from a different perspective altogether and actually say, well, actually, no, I'm going to praise God in all circumstances. I'm going to have my attitude is going to reflect God's promises and his blessing, not just the circumstances that I live in. And because I represent a different kingdom, I can change those circumstances by having different sorts of attitude than the attitudes of the world. So those are beautiful kingdom attitudes which will determine how high we go into the presence of God. And it finishes with this little passage, Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. If our lives are like everybody else's and we compromise and become just like the world and we apply the world standards to our lives, it's like being completely tasteless and being trampled underfoot. Because we cannot have the authority of the kingdom of God operating in our lives when we're operating according to the world system. We have to put God first and do it his way. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that when they see your good works, they glorify your Father is in heaven. There's no point saying you're a Christian if you're afraid to actually live it and tell people and be real with it. What's the point of having a light if it's hidden? God wants it to be seen so that people can see him. The challenge is, will we let our life shine? Will we be different? Will we reflect a different set of lifestyle attitudes than the world around us so that we can lead them into a place of coming into God's presence? This is the same passage in the Message version. It says, let me tell you why you're here. So let this word tell you as Christians why you're here in the world. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? How will people see and taste God if they don't see it through us? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill, if I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. In other words, sow so that you can reap. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to be open to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. So our lives are supposed to help other people find God. Okay, what is salt? If we're supposed to be salt, what is it? What is its meaning? What is its purpose? Salt was a very important substance in the time of the Bible. Very precious, and it was quite costly. In fact, people were paid, the Roman army sometimes were paid their salary. This is where we get salt, because the Latin for salt, I think, is like saline. The salary came from giving them salt. They paid them with salt, because actually, in a hot country, you need to have salt in your body, otherwise your health will fail. So salt was very important. Salt brought flavor. The Christian life, observe, is supposed to be appetizing and appealing to others. Job 6:6 says, can flavorless food be eaten without salt? It's like, we're supposed to bring flavor. God's flavors, love, joy, peace, mercy, grace, faith, humility, power, all those things are the things we're supposed to flavor the world around us with as we live them out. Another thing for salt was an example of covenant life. Covenant was what God made with us. We live in the new covenant. It was a life and death agreement that God made. And literally, it was made so that there was an exchange of life. The greater person in the covenant promised the lesser person in the covenant his support. The lesser person promised the greater person his service. So when we come into a relationship with God, we promise for our lives to be given to God, and he promises that all his resources are made available to us. In Leviticus 2 it says, you shall season with salt, so that the salt of the covenant of your God shall be not lacking from your grain offering. So in other words, as we offer our lives, it needs to be reflecting of that salt of God's covenant blessings from our lives living in man. Mark 9:50, salt is good. But if the salt becomes old salty, what will make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves. So have that life of God in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Dominion, kingdom, authority. 2 Chronicles 13:5. Do you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the rule over Israel forever to David and his sons by a covenant of salt? So representing authority. But we have authority. We are here to be the head and not the tail. That's what the word of God says. So we're supposed to be over and not under the circumstances of life. We're supposed to rule, bringing God's kingdom blessing and rule through it. Wisdom. Colossians 4:5. Conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt. The way we speak, how we reproach people, how we deal with people in life is supposed to reflect the flavors of God to them, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Because God wants to guide us to what to say, the words to speak, the attitudes to have. Wisdom. It also meant preservation from corruption. Salted meat was so it would last longer. So it brought preservation. Also, it was a disinfectant from disease. They used salt on the dung pile to purify it. Also, it was fertilizer. They used it on the ground to produce fruitfulness. So lots of different things that salt was used for. Salt has to be applied to be useful. If you don't apply it, it's no use at all. We have to be applied to the world to influence and transform it as ambassadors. You can't do it inside this building. You've got to do it tomorrow, in the workplace, this afternoon in the home. Wherever you are, that is where we have to be salt and light. We can't do it just in our nice Christian community. We have to do it everywhere, because God wants us to be applied to the world. Okay, let's look at light. We're supposed to be salt, we're supposed to be light. There's a physical sense of light, there's a spiritual and a moral sense of light. 1 John 1:5, this is the message we have heard from him, God, and announced to you, that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. So God is light. And if we come to God who is light, everything is going to be brought into that place of light. 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, in other words, if we say we're Christians, and yet walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. Now, we can't say we're a Christian and act as if we're not. We have to be light. If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We have to have relationships with another which are in the light, vulnerable, open, accountable. That's what discipleship is, walking in the light with other people who share the same common family, God's family. So we walk in relationship of openness, that's when we walk in light. Light, so people can see God and their need of him. People should look at our lives as light and they should see their need of God themselves. 1 Thessalonians 5:5-8, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to darkness, so then let us not be like others. We have to live differently. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. God wants our lives to be demonstration and showing where the path is to real life. It illuminates things. Psalm 18:28, for you, light my lamp. The Lord of God illumines my darkness. So we're supposed to also walk in light, not in darkness. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So we're supposed to walk and be directed by God, not aimlessly. So we have a path that we can walk on because we can see it because we walk in light. Does that make sense? Psalm 43:3. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. I should be guided by my relationship with God, and other people should see the path to follow from the way I live and where you live. Light also exposes things hidden in darkness. If you bring a light into a dark room, you can then see what's in it. So the light is supposed to expose in the world what is darkness, so that we can deal with those things in darkness. Psalm 90:8, you have set our iniquities before you and our secret sins in the light of your presence. We cannot hide anything from God, who is light. The closer we get to him, the more it shows up the things in our lives which he needs to change. So we become more light as we allow him to do that. Mark 4:22, there is nothing hidden, but it must be disclosed. Nothing kept secret except to be brought to the light. God wants us to live open lives, not hidden ones. 1 Corinthians 4:5. He will bring into the light of day all that at present is hidden in darkness. He will expose the secret motives of men's heart. Our lives should be that. It should expose the reality of how people are living because they see something different. And God can give us the ability to look into people's hearts and to speak the truth to them so that their lives can be transformed as well. 2 Corinthians 4:2-6, we have renounced secret and shameful ways in the sight of God. Because we don't have to hide in God's light and his presence. We can be free to be real and open because we know he loves us and his light is only there to bring us into more light, not there to expose us and make us feel bad, but to enable us to live in truth. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts. He wants to shine his light in our hearts to give us knowledge of the glory of God in Jesus, so that we can see the truth. Light also brings judgment of right and wrong. People should be able to see our lives just like they saw Jesus' life and they saw what was right and wrong. John 3:19-21. This is the judgment, that light has entered the world and men have preferred darkness to light because their deeds were evil. Everybody who does wrong hates the light and keeps away from it for fear his deeds may be exposed. But everyone who is living by the truth will come to the light to make it plain that all he has done has been done through God. God wants us to live that sort of way. Light dispels darkness. John 1:5, the light shines in darkness and the darkness will never put it out. So if we're walking in the light, that darkness can never, ever put the light out. It doesn't matter how dark is dark, one little candle completely changes it. And each of us are little candles in the world. to bring light, to change the world in which we live. And every one of us is responsible. A little candle doesn't actually seem much, but when you have millions of candles together, it's really bright. That's why the light is called candle power. So many million candles. I've got a torch downstairs, which is 3 million candle power. It's really bright. And the more we come to reflect God's glory and more he works through us, the lighter our lives become and the more we can actually bring light into darkness. Matthew 17:2. He was transfigured, and this is talking about Jesus, before them. His face shone like the sun and his garments became as white as light. Actually, I believe that is going to happen for those people who walk with God. Literally, we will be like the ready men, glowing with light. Walking around different, bringing that light, not just in a moral sense, but in a physical sense, because people will be able to see us and see God in us reflected. Last scripture, Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Jesus, the light of the world, is come already. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. When we are actual salt and light in the world, it should draw people to God. Because we are demonstrating a different kingdom with different principles. We're an ambassador. So, are you willing to be salt? Are you willing to make a difference in where you live? Are you willing to be light and to shine? Are you willing to be an ambassador? Are you willing to seek and live for God's kingdom and his righteousness first above everything else? Because that's what the kingdom demands. We put him first and then we can shine. I showed this last week, the manifold wisdom of God. You can be some of that. Fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, ministries of the Spirit. All that stuff is how we display light. And there's a whole host of things. Mercy, grace, compassion, truth, faith, hope, love. All those things we live out, which are a whole different expression from the world around us. God wants you to actually be a frequency, a radiation of light. It's like, that's what your life should be like. An explosion of the light that comes from God. It's like, we can be one of those colors that makes up the God colors of the world and changes it. So this is what the world will look like. Whoops, back like that. Full of color. It's like, that's what it should be like. Before sin came into the world and darkness came, actually, that's what the universe was like. Full of life and light. And it will be like that again, because it says that God's people will shine like stars, like the sun. That's God's desire. Let's go from this place and be salt and light, because we'll reflect a different kingdom and see God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen?